Hello, this is Lonnie Stark with Stark Silver Creek, and I'm here joined with Francis Ju, who is one of the stars of the latest work from Theater Works, Yellow Face. I want to welcome you to the show.
Thanks, Lonnie. It's great to be chatting with you.
Well, thanks for joining us. It's probably very busy right now getting ready for the preview and the opening night. Can you tell us just a little about yourself and how you got involved in the theater business?
Sure. I grew up in San Francisco, one of nine kids. We were not necessarily theater goers, but my first memory of what I wanted to be actually was Elvis Presley. It's even funnier than it sounds if you knew what a geeky little kid I was. The first live theater that I ever saw was a production of The King and I that my older brother Jeffrey was in. He was playing the prince. The only other Asian person that I remember being in the show was playing the king. But as far as I was concerned, every single person up there was Siamese. It was a really beautiful, almost spiritual moment for me. And I knew then and there that was what I was meant to do.
You just opened up several cans of worms here of material I've got to ask you about. So first of all, which order were you? Of the nine kids, were you the oldest, the youngest? Obviously, you weren't the oldest, since you mentioned your brother. You watched your brother play in The King and I.
I was number six.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a wonderful way to grow up. We were a baseball team growing up, it was a great way to learn how to get along with people. I'll just say that.
Well, so you were all part of one baseball team?
Since there were nine of us, it was really easy to get together and play baseball together. But we were a pretty active family, but not necessarily theater going. I think it's really kind of remarkable that my parents have been so supportive.
Well, it's great that they have been, and you've had quite a run. Now, I got to also ask about what was it with Elvis that made you, at first want to be like Elvis? Was it the hair or was it the hip gyrations?
I think it was all of the above. he was so charismatic, and I think I was attracted to how much power he had. I loved the way that he moved. I originally wanted to learn how to dance. I think that was my first love of performing. And eventually, after studying dance for a while and then studying voice for a while, I really wanted to act as well. I wanted to be able to say things. Because I was an English major in school, I think that I appreciated the value of words, and especially words in the context of theater, of strangers being alone in a room together, having a shared experience with a text that could mean very different things to very different people, depending on how it was all done.
Well, you bring up an interesting thing about that shared experience. Now, this is your second time playing in Yellow Face. You did that originally in New York as well. And what's the experience been like, one, returning back to your hometown of San Francisco, and two, playing the part again, but with a whole different set of characters?
You know, I love this play just about as much, if not more, than anything else I've ever done. It's a very, very personal play. A very political play, and it's also a hysterical play. It's got a lot of backstage dish. It satirizes not just theater, but identity politics, the way that we're portrayed in the media, both on stage and in the news, as well as being a political thriller, it becomes a very personal story. David Henry Hwang, who wrote the play.
He's also from Stanford, which is also local.
Stanford, yes, exactly. He workshopped this play at Stanford a couple of years ago as well. I was fortunate enough to be invited to do that workshop here. David has put himself in the center of this story, in what he calls a mockumentary. a sort of fictional documentary of himself protesting the casting of a Caucasian in an Asian leading role in Miss Saigon, the failure of his play Face Value, and his father's involvement with the Donagate scandals in the 90s. So it's a far-ranging play that ultimately becomes a very personal journey for David and Eric Huang and for us in the play. I love the play so much. I'm really enjoying the chance to look at it again. I'm discovering new things about the play and about myself while working on it with this fantastic new group at TheatreWorks.
So for the people that are looking forward to actually seeing it at TheatreWorks, how would you, in a short sort of brief moment, how can you describe Yellowface? You sort of make references. It's obviously a mock documentary or almost a mock autobiography of a portion of David Henry Huang's life. What do you think are the key themes in this, from the taking some parts into fiction, but then bringing it into and revealing things about maybe reality in more of a poignant way?
I think that when I first heard that David was writing Yellowface, I expected that it was going to be a revenge play, that he was going to want to respond to the whole controversy over the casting of Miss Saigon, over the failure of Face Value. But what he's really written, I think, is a hysterical comedy and a poignant drama about authenticity, about how difficult it is for any of us to define who we are, who other people are, and how we make choices all along the way, throughout our lives, to decide who we are. I think that when I was young, I used to want to represent. I felt this tremendous responsibility as an Asian American performer, because whenever anyone looked at me performing, I realized that I wasn't just playing the character I was playing. I was representing a billion people on the planet to the people who were watching. Most actors of color can identify with that feeling. But, these days, I think I've relieved myself somewhat of the weight of that responsibility, because what do I know about what it means to be Asian American, even though I am one? Because every person's experience is so different. What does it mean to be Chinese? What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be someone my age? All of those things are very individual. As much as we have in common, each of us has our own experience and our own way of defining who we are. And so I think that this play really exposes all of that and how ridiculous it is sometimes when we try to define ourselves, both in good ways and in bad ways. So the play examines both how we do that individually, personally, how often the arts try to define identity, how the news media often trades on stereotypes, and how all of that is related to one another in hysterical and sometimes very dramatic ways.
I think you bring up a good point, which shows probably why this play, this work, speaks to many of us, because regardless of sort of which, in this case, whether you're Asian American or not, I think we can all identify with this need to find the individual and to find ourselves when we're pitted against all the different types of stereotypes that the media and society sort of has out there. In New York, in San Francisco, what do you think are a couple of the key things that you think are different, whether it's in your role or in the stage sets or whatever that's different. So if people see it in New York, what's sort of a new element or dimension to the Theater Works sort of version of this play?
Of course, the script is exactly the same. It's exactly the same play, but the productions are very different. The New York production, I think, was a very hard-edged, biting satire.
It's New York.
yes, exactly. It focused a lot on the cynicism of the news media. I think that the staging and the starkness of the scenic design emphasized how cold and alone we are in making a lot of these choices. I think that it became that the circumstances, the world around us, is very, very hard. And anyone who's tried to do theater in New York City really gets what that feels like. Here in the Bay Area, I think, and at Theater Works in particular, I think that the emphasis is much more on personal journey and on a connection to community. And so the environment of these political scandals and investigations into Asians and Asian Americans donating money to presidential campaigns in the 1990s, the way that we presume things to be true because they're in the news media, is still present in the play, but it's background to, I think, the more personal journeys in the play, particularly those of David Henry Hwang in the play, as a character in the play, and his father, Henry Y. Hwang, who owned a bank in Los Angeles, was a very successful businessman in L.A., but who came under investigation in the 1990s when it was suspected that Chinese were funneling money into the political system in the 90s. So I think the production in San Francisco, in Palo Alto, is much more focused on the family relationship and the community relationship.
So I think it'll be, just reading over the brochures, I'm really excited to see it. What I've noticed actually interesting about your background is you have a slew of roles in many sort of Broadway hits, including Thoroughly Modern Millie and others in New York. But you also have a couple of television credits to your name as well. What's the difference between theater and television from your perspective, and which one do you enjoy more?
Wow. I haven't done a whole lot of television. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, I don't know that I'm particularly good at it, because I don't have that much experience at it. But every once in a while, friends will call or email and say that they spotted me on Law & Order SVU again. I gotta say that with theater, there's much more time, there's more rehearsal for a company of actors to become a family and to sort of understand what they're doing. With television, it's so fast, and you're on set one day and the next day you're not. So it's a much quicker process and a much more focused period of time. The big difference that I have noticed is that when you're doing theater, you get to tell an entire story in one sitting. For however long the play is, you get to take it from the very beginning to the end. And when you're shooting film or television, you're doing little bits at a time. And once it's in the can, you don't revisit it. It's done. And then it's up to someone else, the editor and the director and the producer, to put the whole thing together. So it's a very different process. I like work. I would love to work in television and in film more, as well as theater. So I wouldn't say no to any of it.
That's great. And you brought up some interesting differences, because I've talked to others who have done both theater and television, but I think your sort of explanation is one of the best I've heard about it, because you're right, in theater you get to revisit it every night, you have different audiences and their reaction to it. It's very dynamic and organic from that perspective.
True. I mean, every performance is a brand new show. Because even when you're alone on stage delivering a monologue, there is a whole new element of the show, which is the audience. And whether the audience is quiet or not, your job is to engage them in a dialogue. And sometimes the audience says things back that will surprise you. It's a whole new set of people there having a collective experience that is only true for that night, and then it's gone. And every one of us takes away from that evening what we take away, and it keeps evolving as our memory evolves. I think Black theater is particularly good at creating these experiences that live on and keep evolving, because you can't revisit it the way you can a rerun of something on TV or a movie that you can rent over and over again if you want to see it again. Live theater only exists within our own capacity for compassion. So. I think there's something really special about live theater.
Throughout the years that you've been involved in the theater business, have you seen any things sort of change in terms of the theater scene around New York or in the San Francisco Bay Area? Any different trends that are notable?
So recently, there has been, I think, a revival of sorts in a kind of theater that is looking for hope. I think 20 years ago, cynicism, dark themes, existential themes were more fashionable to explore dark parts of our experience, I think, was something we were really, really interested in. And I think that maybe it's because of the recent presidential election, maybe it's just the way things cycle through our collective consciousness. I think people are looking for hope these days. They're looking for indications that we can change for the better. And that I think that we're thinking of ourselves more collectively now rather than individually. And so I'm seeing plays now being produced that are searching for those kinds of answers. And I'm really encouraged by that.
I would agree with you. I'm seeing a lot more plays and works with more humor in them, more, you know, positive hope. And also I think just with the social media and just where we are from a society perspective, I think there is a lot of more consciousness about how we fit into our circles of family and friends. I noticed here that you won the 2008 Lortel Award for Outstanding Feature Actor. What is that award for, and how would you describe it to folks that may not follow, everything theater?
Oh, well, at the risk of bragging on myself.
You can't brag. This is your moment to brag.
Well, okay, here goes. Yellow Face won the Obie Award, which is an award given out by a slew of critics gathered by the Village Voice in New York. It's an off-Broadway downtown Award for Best Play, and very prestigious. I also won the Opie Award for Best Supporting Actor for my work in Yellow Face, as well as the Lucille Lortel Award. The Lucille Lortel Award is awarded by the League of Off-Broadway Theaters. It is the off-Broadway equivalent to the Tony Award, which is given out for Broadway shows. So the Lortel is given out for those shows that are produced off-Broadway. I sent the Lortel Award to my folks so that they could have it on their mantelpiece. They've got it in the dining room right now.
I'm sure, you know, if your parents are anything like my parents, I'm sure they have it displayed, and when their friends or family comes over, it gets brought out, and they'll get a lot more use out of it than you probably will. They'll be nothing short of bragging about it.
I'm not sure about that. They're proud parents. I got to say, they've been incredibly supportive, but they're not shy about giving me notes, too. Whenever they come to your show, I can trust their honesty when they come see me.
That's great. They're your biggest fans and critics, right?
Yes, exactly.
So when you're, you know, not doing theater or acting, what do you like doing? Are you based out of New York these days, or have you been moving around?
You know, that's a funny question, because every once in a while, my mother will actually ask me what I do all day.
Now she gets to find out on this podcast, you see.
It's a very strange way to make a living, because every day is so completely different. It's not like having a regular job. I am based out of New York now. For a while I was living on both coasts, now I only live in New York, and but I do go where the work takes me. It's a constant search for work. You're always trying to keep up contact with folks so that you build on those relationships personally and professionally, because people tend to work with people they know and can trust. When I'm working on a show, oftentimes I'm also reading other scripts to prepare for them, or simply to study. And when I'm not employed, when I'm between gigs, I'm always looking for inspiration. I read books, I go to movies, I am always looking for ways to be useful. I'll take a class, things like that. It's a very strange way to live, because it's like you're always in school.
Well, that's good. You're always working on your craft, and it seems that you've been recognized for your outstanding performances in many of the works that you've been involved in. I think those that will be seeing the show, Theater Works in Mountain View, Yellow Face, will be really in for a treat. I really want to thank you for the time you spent, Francis, in chatting with us. It's got a lot of your perspectives on different things. You know, will really give other people an appreciation as they watch the show to understand where you're coming from with it as well. So thank you for your time.
Thanks. I look forward to seeing you at the show.
This is Lonnie Stark of Stark Silver Creek, and we just finished off a great conversation with Francis Chu, who's in the latest Theater Works production of Yellow Face in Mountain View. It's opening on Saturday, with preview shows prior to that as well. Definitely, if you can make it out, it sounds like an interesting piece of work. It's gotten great reception in New York, and now it's here in Mountain View as well.